My life involves a lot of travel. I travel on the bus, I travel on the train, I travel on the airplane. I have a scooter in Taiwan that I use a lot, and I do a lot of walking. When I get onto the plane or the train or the bus, I often talk to the person who sits down next to me. I like to ask, since I know where we're going, I say, "Do you go to this place often?" That's not an invasive question. Or I say, "Do you ride this form of transportation often?" And they talk to me. And I have interesting conversations. But one time, I sat down next to this woman, and it seemed like everything I said was wrong. I would make some comment, and she turned to me and said, "You're wrong." And I thought, well, I need to change topics. And I brought up another topic, and she said, "You're wrong." Well, I began telling her about Jesus Christ. I thought, this is something I know much more about than she does. And she looked at me and said, "You're wrong." And I finally said, "Jesus Christ is everything to me." And you know what she said? "You are wrong." And I said, wait a minute. I didn't say Jesus Christ is everything to you. You cannot say that I'm wrong in saying that Jesus Christ is everything to me. And then she said to me, "Now I realize that Christians believe that Jesus Christ is everything to them." And after that, we had a wonderful conversation. We are Christians. We follow Jesus Christ. Now we are attending this church. In the past, many of us attended other churches. Maybe in the future we will attend other churches. But we always follow Jesus Christ. I have meditated very much on who Jesus Christ is. And today I would like to ask you to meditate with me. I've prepared this one sheet of paper, and I hope you look at it, and I hope that looking at it helps you understand what I'm trying to convey. I always have this fear that I'll get up here and talk for a long time, and then no one will understand what I was trying to say. No, what I want to emphasize is that Jesus Christ is everything to us. As we were reading here in Colossians, I remember many years ago when I first noticed this, verse 4, when Christ, and then just between two commas, it says something very, very simple, "who is our life," and then he continues on. And it struck me. Paul always has these long arguments. Paul is always debating something. But just as if in passing, he says something that I think is the most important phrase in the whole book. Christ is our life. We know Psalm 23 begins, "The Lord is my shepherd." We know in the book of John, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." What does a shepherd do for his sheep? A shepherd gives the sheep everything that the sheep needs. Here's a place to live. Here is something to eat. Here is water you can drink. I protect you. Jesus is the one who provides us what we need. But there's a problem in many Christians' minds. Many Christians want the gift and don't care about the giver. I hope you were not like me when you were in primary school. We went to visit my grandmother. I walked in and saw her. And what was my first question? If you are not like me, you don't know. If you are like me, you know. I asked, "May I have some candy?" And when my grandmother gave me candy, what did I do? I ran away to eat it. I was more interested in the gift than in the giver. That is an immature attitude. As I grew older, and of course she grew older, later I didn't care for any gift from her. I just valued her. Yes, the Bible says Jesus is our shepherd. The Bible also says Jesus is our door. Yes, there is the place to live in the sheepfold. And what is the door? A place of protection. No one can come in except by the door, and Jesus is there as the door. Jesus gives us rest. But there's something else he says that I think is very, very significant. He says, I am the bread of life. I think many people come to church, and I think many Christians are this way, many non-Christians are this way, and they want that gift from God. Can your church help me? Can you help me? Can your God help me? They want the gift, but they don't care about the giver. But when Jesus says, I am the bread of life, he is saying to us, I am what you need to feed on. We don't come to Jesus Christ and say, I don't want you, but can you give me something? We come to Jesus Christ and we say, I need you. Many people who do not come to church, they don't understand this. But I think that many people who do come to church don't understand this either. Jesus is our shepherd. He not only gives us something to eat, no, he is the one that we feed on. We take him as our bread of life. But Jesus is our Savior. I think very many people love to come to church and they want Jesus to help them do many things. No, Jesus is our Savior. Have you thought about the difference between a helper and a Savior? I want you to meditate on that difference. We all need help. We walk out the door. Which way is the underground? Which platform do I get on? Do I get on this train or the next train? We want someone to help us. But what is a Savior? A Savior is somebody who doesn't merely help us. He comes to us when there is no other option and we are in great danger. That's when we need a Savior. But I think that most people in this world are not willing to admit, I am so bad off, I need a Savior. When I was young, my parents had my brothers and me learn how to swim. And I did poorly. But when we got into secondary school, they taught us life saving. And I was sitting there learning from them. And they said, if somebody is out from shore and they're crying out, they're ready to drown, you are to swim out there to save them. But that's not all they taught us. They said, don't swim out there alone. Take some kind of life-saving equipment with you, something that will float. When you get out there, talk to the person. Don't grab him. And I'm sitting there as a young person thinking, he needs saving. I need to save him. I should reach out and grab him. They said, no. He isn't dead yet. His head is still above water. Talk to him. Calm him down. Then give him the float. And then when he grabs the float, you swim in and he can swim in. Oh. If his head is above water and he can still swim, he doesn't need saving by me, right? He can swim with the float. They said, if you grab him, he will grab you and will climb on top of your head and you will go under. You will die, then he will die. And that's two people dead. Wait until he gets tired. Wait until he cannot do anything. And just as he goes under for the last time, grab him and then swim with him back to shore. What were they teaching us? Wait until the person needs to be saved before you save him. Before then, help him. There's a big difference. And we as Christians come to Jesus Christ and say, I need a Savior. I'm not coming to Jesus merely for a little bit of help. I'm coming to Jesus and saying, I can't do it. I have sin that I cannot get rid of. I have this life that I cannot handle. I live in a world that is too big for me or even all of us. I need for you to save me. What am I going to do about my eternity? I cannot solve that myself. I need for Jesus to save me. It's a huge difference. Jesus, it says right here in chapter 3, is our life. It's not merely that he gives us something. No, he is what we need. Let me talk about the word hope, okay? What is hope? Many times we use this word in English, I think, very poorly. We use the word hope, the way we use it often, I think we use it poorly. We say, I hope for Christmas I get a gift. We have no idea, if we will. We have no idea. And so we say, I hope. No, that really isn't what hope is. That's just wishing for something. What is hope? Hope is when someone says, I have no money. I have nothing. I have no job. And then someone says to him, I promise I will put £10,000 in your bank account. It's not there yet, right? He's just said it. But you trust him. And because you trust him, now you have hope. You don't have it yet. Once you have it, you don't need hope. You have it. Hope means I know it's going to happen. And I know it's something great. I know it's something good. And because I know it's going to happen, in my heart I feel hope. Because Jesus is our Savior, we have hope. When Christians talk about hope of heaven, we don't mean maybe we will have heaven, maybe we will not. That's not what we mean. When we talk about the hope of heaven, we mean it's definite. It's definite. And therefore, in our hearts, there's an attitude of hope. We know that we will go there. We know we are not there now. But because of the certainty of heaven, we know there is hope in our hearts. Christian hope is not wishing. Christian hope is recognizing something is definite. And then in our hearts, there is this attitude of hope. Jesus Christ is our Savior. But Jesus Christ is also our friend. We use the word friend very poorly, I think, in our modern society. We have friends on Facebook. We meet someone for the first time and we never see them again and we call them a friend. No, Jesus is not that kind of friend. Jesus is the kind of friend who actually loves and cares for you. He said to his disciples, "You are my friend." And what amazes me, and I've thought about this for years, the greatest love is what? To give your life, he doesn't say for another, he says to give your life for a friend. That doesn't happen very often. We often hear of people who give their lives for their family. But there's an obligation there. It takes more love to give your life for a friend. Meditate on that. And Jesus calls us friends. What is a friend? Next Saturday, you will meet my older brother. And I think you will ask the question, are you related? Because he and I are very different. Now, if I were to bring one of my close friends here, you might say, wow, the two of you are very, 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 very similar. And all through our lives we find that. Friends are similar. Brothers are different. Our friends are very similar to us. We identify with them. We often have very similar attitudes, very similar opinions, very similar habits. Jesus Christ is our friend, and we identify with Him. He is our comfort. In our lives, many things happen. 2 Corinthians talks about the troubles that come in our lives. But Paul says, we are comforted. Why? Jesus went through troubles also. And He gives us comfort because of what He went through. Now, every day we have to do many things. Jesus is our co-worker as we live our lives. We are not working alone. I heard the testimony one time of a lady who had been a Buddhist for many years. And then she became a Christian. And this is her testimony. She said, it's a big difference. When I was a Buddhist, I was always alone. Now that I'm a Christian, Jesus is with me. About a half year ago, I was in Taiwan speaking to a non-Christian lady, and she was just telling me about her life, and I won't go into the details of the problems she mentioned. She was just telling me these problems, and then, because she knows I'm a Christian, she paused and said, I'm jealous of you that you have God. She was facing these problems and she felt alone. But we have Jesus working with us every day. As we work, Jesus is beside us. As we need help, Jesus is with us to help us. As we face many issues, Jesus is right there working with us. But Jesus is also our Lord. I think that's a hard word for many people. I think many people would love to become a Christian if we would tell them that Jesus is their servant. Oh, good! I have an omnipotent servant to help me. No. The thing that we as Christians know at the beginning, and I think we keep learning as time goes on, the goal in life is not to try to find out how to get God to do what we want. The goal in our life is for us to learn to do what God wants. He is the Lord. We are the ones who serve Him. A week ago, when friends of mine were visiting, we went to the War Museum here in London. It was fascinating. But when I saw the realities of living in a trench, when I saw the realities of the bombing, I left there hating war more than ever. Horrible. But do you know, I am part of a war right now. You as a Christian are part of a war. It is a spiritual war. It is a spiritual battle. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. The Bible says that very clearly. The people around us are not our enemies. It is the spiritual powers behind everything. The devil is alive and real, and he is powerful. The devil has many servants everywhere, and they are powerful. But let me tell you, our Lord is far more powerful than the devil. Our Lord is far more powerful than the devil and all of his servants together. And so therefore we follow Jesus as our Lord. But what that means is, if you're in a war and you have a captain or a lord leading you, that means you are the one who obeys. And we as Christians, we learn to trust, yes, and we learn to obey. That means that many times we do what we don't want to do, we do what Jesus wants us to do. But Jesus instructs us. Jesus is the light of the world. He instructs us. He teaches us. Of course, we have the responsibility to read the Bible to find out what he wants to teach us. He gives us wisdom. And every day we need wisdom. It's one thing to learn many pieces of information. It's another thing to know how to use that and how to live in this sin-filled world. But I hope you look at the top of what I've printed here. Jesus is my God. And this is something that I think people who are not Christians have a hard time, a great difficulty in fathoming. They're very glad for Jesus to be their teacher. They want to read the Sermon on the Mount and they're amazed at some of the things that Jesus teaches. No, we don't merely look at Jesus as our teacher. He is our God. I think of a famous person that we all really, really, really looked up to were suddenly to walk in here, we would all stand. But if Jesus were suddenly to walk in here, we would all kneel. There's a complete difference in how we treat Jesus from how we treat great people, because he is our God and we worship him. Many people pray and ask God for things. Give me this, give me this, give me this, give me this. Well, God wants us to request things from him. But God also wants us to worship. For we acknowledge his greatness. We acknowledge who he is. We acknowledge how matchless he is. And Jesus is our God. We worship him. And if you look at what I've printed here, I want you to look in the middle. Christ is our all. As Christians, it is not that we have this amazing life that we're living and we want Jesus to have a little bit of input in it. No, our goal is Jesus. Our aim is Jesus. Our life is Jesus. Everything else is on the side. And many people who study Christianity, who are not Christians, I think they don't see this. They look at our churches, our meeting places, and they say, oh, you build such beautiful buildings. And, oh, you get together for all these meetings, and you eat such good food. And, oh, I just love the way you have music, and you have seminars. Oh, you Christians do many good things. And we as Christians look back at them and say, you've missed the point. You have missed the point. We admit that we Christians have done many things for these 2,000 years. All of these buildings, all of the activities, all of the organizations, all of the philanthropy, all of the relationships, we admit all of that. And we're very happy. But that isn't the point. No, you need to know Jesus. And as Christians, I find that we Christians even get so involved with good things, we forget Jesus. 20 years ago, I had a secretary. And I remember one day, I asked her to do three things. And then I left the office. And she called me. Is it okay if I add two more things to that list? Well, that was reasonable. I said, sure. Well, then she called me a little bit later and she said, you know, because I'm doing item number 4 and number 5, I don't have time to do item 1, 2, and 3. Okay, she missed the point. She missed the point. And as Christians, I think that very, very many times we say, well, you know, it's good to exercise. Yeah. You know, it's good to study literature. Yeah. It's good to listen to music. Oh, yeah. It's good to spend time with people. Yeah. Oh, yes. It's good to travel. It's good. And we go on and on and we have all these good things in our lives. And then we wake up one day and we realize we've completely forgotten Jesus Christ. All of us know to stay away from sin. We all know that. And I admit, let's stay away from sin. But what I want to remind you is that too many good things may take us away from Jesus Christ. We have to adjust. And today my message is to tell us, remember, Jesus Christ is our all. Now, I spent a lot of time arranging what I put on this paper, and I have a reason for why I put each of these words where I did. Do you notice that the top of the page, Jesus is my shepherd, he's my God, he's my Lord. These are leading roles in my life. A shepherd leads a sheep, right? A God is over his people. A Lord is over the people he leads. Look at the bottom three. He's a Savior. He humbled himself to die for me. He is my friend. He brings himself down to identify with me. He is my co-worker. He's working alongside of me. Those are roles that are showing his humility. But then I put them in three columns, which I think are also significant. Look at the far left. He is my shepherd. He has given what I need. He is my Savior. He has died for me himself. He has saved me. What has he done for me? He's done something bounteous. God has blessed me in many ways. But you look in the middle. Christ is my God. Christ is my friend. Here I emphasize, who is Jesus? Who is he? He is someone who is glorious. Look at the right hand. How am I to treat him? He is deserving to be my Lord. It's not just that I play along. No, he is deserving of having my honor and my obedience. Now, we as Christians, we have one message, and that message is Jesus Christ. And people come to us all the time and want us to change that message. Why don't you just talk about the family? Why don't you just talk about social things? Why don't you just help the poor? And wherever I go, I find there are pressures on the church as a whole to change our message. Please become a different kind of organization. And we as Christians stand our ground and we say, we have one message. Jesus Christ died for us and rose again. That is our one message. We're glad to do other things. Because of who Jesus is, we will do all of these things. But it all flows from knowing Christ. If we get rid of Jesus, we know what will happen. All of those other good things will go away. We must stay with Jesus Christ. So we have major questions in our lives. Our foundational needs. Who are we? Where did we come from? What is our origin? Did human beings just suddenly appear on this earth? And we know of the different theories that are out there. We don't pay any attention to them. We know what the Bible has said. God made us in his image. And that shows where we came from. It shows us why God made us. It showed us the purpose for why we are made. These are very foundational needs that put us in this universe, that put us in this realm of reality, where we know who we are. We are God's creation. Our physical needs. Yes, I have this body. God provides food, clothing, shelter. Any other needs in our lives, God is providing because he is our shepherd. Our emotional needs. We are more than just a body. We need Jesus' love, Jesus' companionship as our friend. We have spiritual needs. He is the one who paid for our sins. He is the one who forgives us of our sins. And this also is a unique message of our faith. We're not just out here to help people have better lives or have self-actualization. That's not why we're here. The fundamental problem in your life, in my life, and in the problem of the people of the world is sin. That is our fundamental problem. Jesus solves that fundamental problem by dying and rising again. But we have directional needs. What about my future? What should I do today? What should I do tomorrow? What will happen in the future? Why should I get out of bed today? As a Christian, we're saying, I am following my Lord Jesus. He is going before me. I follow in His footsteps. And now I know what to do. Our service needs. Every day, many things happen. Do you sometimes get to 3 p.m. and just feel low? Do you just have that slump? Maybe it happens at a different time in the day. Or do you wake up in the middle of the night and you hear a funny sound? All of our days, different things happen. Specifics happen in our lives that puzzle us. And we don't know what to do. We look to Jesus Christ, who stands beside us and helps us each day. I think if you were to go around the world and you were to ask the vast majority of people, should we be self-centered? I think the vast majority of people would laugh at us and say, no, that's horrible to be self-centered. You need to get yourself focused on other people. And so there are people who write books on being others-focused. Well, I will admit that's a little bit better than being focused on yourself. But there is something better than being focused on other people. There are many people who become Christians and they make the church the center of their lives. Well, that's nice. They're active in church and everything they do has relationship to the church and they help the church out. Well, that's not really the best. Some people, they say, well, I'm all about growth. I want to improve myself. Well, that's another way of saying I'm self-centered. Yes, it's good to improve ourselves. It's good to do whatever we can to help our bodies, to help our minds, to help our relationships. All that is good. But that isn't the best. Today I want to remind everyone, what is best is for us to live a Christ-centered life. We have these pronouns, I, you, he. The selfish person lives his life for me. Many people, who I don't think have the right answer, they live their lives always saying you, you, you. But I don't think they're on the right track. We as Christians, our emphasis is Him. Whether we're dealing with another Christian, whether we're dealing with a non-Christian, whether we're dealing with ourselves, whether we're dealing with this universe, our touchstone is Jesus Christ. We consciously think every day, who is Jesus to me? Oh, He's my shepherd. Yes, I have needs today, physical needs. I need to look to Him. He's my Savior. That's right. The sin that was in my past, I can forget because Jesus has paid for it. What I'm wrestling with today, I know I can overcome this because Jesus has died and has risen and has paid for this. I know my future is settled because Jesus has died and has risen and has settled that. Jesus is my friend. Every day I know I live with His love, His help, His concern. Jesus is my co-worker. Whatever is happening today at my work or in my obligations, Jesus is standing there right beside me, helping me step by step. Now, Jesus is my Lord. I must follow Him. I'm not just living my life to satisfy myself or fulfill society's goals. No, I am following Jesus. And my attitude toward Jesus is not that he's just my superior. No, he's my God. And my life is one of worshiping him. In fact, Jesus is everything to me. Maybe sometime you'll be riding on the train like I was that day, and the person next to you will be wondering, what is unique about you Christians? I hope that you tell that person, Jesus is everything to me. Don't confuse them by saying, well, my church does this. Tell them about Jesus. Let's pray. Oh God, we come to you because you are God. And we thank you so much that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. He paid for us. He rose again in victory for us. And we ask that each day you will help us to follow Jesus, to rely on Jesus, to draw our sustenance from Jesus. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.